And good morning and welcome to Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning from the La Porte Church of Christ, October 6, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. We're going to start off with a song. This is a song, it's an old one. I think this song's probably about, I think I heard it probably 30 years ago. 20 years ago, 24 years ago. But it was an old one, and I ran across it the other day, went and found the video to it, and it's got some good lyrics, and wanted to share it with you this morning. I hope you enjoy it.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps. Way out of this mess, we must take America back. Fight for freedom,
freedom
and the soul of the USA. Right here, right now, it's Independence Day.
Yeah, I thought that was a good song. Back in the year, I think it was 98, 99, I went with Pastor Peters to several preparedness expos across the United States, and he was speaking at them. And Steve Voss was there singing. He was on the entertainment circle for those. And we got to meet him, and it was a good time. Hadn't heard, he hasn't put out a lot of music since then, but ran across that song on a CD that was in my office this last week, and wanted to share that with you. And before we pray, we usually start off with a word of prayer, but before we do pray this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the prayer filter and the prayer amplifier. It was, you know, I've been encouraging people and asking people and asked people to pray yesterday on the radio for those that are affected, you know, by this hurricane. And it's not just Asheville. It's a huge area. Everybody, you know, is saying Asheville, but it's the towns and the cities that are around there. There's a lot of damage that has been affected. And one of the things that just keeps coming to my mind is, you know, that Asheville area is such an evil area. Now, all the people in that area, you know, they are not evil. There's some of our people there. We've got people that are on the ministry that are close by there. And we have been in contact with them, and praise God, they have, so far, everyone that we've talked to is doing well. They've had power outages and maybe some shortages, but they're doing well. There's been no loss of life as far as any of those people that we've been in contact with. So Praise God for that. I do want to continue to pray for them, but your spirit pricked me and, said, how do you pray for them and how do you discern? Because I know one of the enemy's weapons of warfare is to get us to bless those that hate the Lord, and therefore we bring the wrath of God upon ourselves. And that's something that's been very important to me. And a lot of times when I go to pray for somebody or pray for something, I got to stop and think and, ask the Lord, is this a trap? Is this a trap to get me to bless somebody that hates the Lord and bring the wrath of God upon myself? And that is, a historical weapon of warfare. And as I was praying this week, it just, popped into my mind, and I believe it was working of the Holy Spirit that says, use the prayer filter. And, the prayer filter, we'll bring it up on the screen, is one of the weapons of warfare that we can use to combat the enemies. And I just want to pray this prayer filter and encourage you to pray it with me before we pray for those affected from this hurricane. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge and fully believe that the Son of God, I have great power and authority in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:19 through 21, and Luke 10:19, including the power to bless and to curse. If your word teaches me I dare not bless those who hate you, 2 Chronicles 19:2, and those who hate you often disguise their hate, Proverbs 26:24 through 26. We know from your word that blessings can be obtained through disguise and deception, Genesis 27:12. So through you and your Holy Spirit, I filter my prayers, for I do not always know how to pray and thus need your help, Romans 8:26. For I don't always discern the wolves in sheep's clothing, or the false brethren, or the tares from the wheat, Matthew 7:15 and 13:38, Acts 5:4, and 2 Corinthians 11:26. Your word teaches me you can change curses into blessings, Nehemiah 13:2. And reason tells me you can also then change blessings into curses. So this day I filter my prayers calling for you to take any necessary changes in them so that I might never give what is holy to the dogs, Matthew 7:6, and might never curse the righteous. In Jesus' holy name I pray and activate this prayer filter. Amen. The prayer amplifier is, as sons of God, Romans 8:19, Christians have the godly power to pray blessings and or curses, Genesis 12:3. Imprecatory prayers of the type David prayed, Psalms 58:6-8, are curses upon God's enemies, and the enemies of God are now the enemies of God's people. Note, we are to bless our personal enemies within the kingdom, see Luke 6:28. And to add punch to your prayers, read, memorize, and meditate on the following scriptures. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. John 16:23-24 says, and in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing. In my name ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Mark 11:24, quote, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted unto you. John 14:12-13 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. This prayer filter, amplifier, and Bible marker is available from Scriptures for America Ministries. And if you'd like to get one of these bookmarks, we'd like to send it to you. But I believe that that's one of the things, one of the tools that we can use. And I wanted to read that before we pray for those that are affected by this hurricane. So please join me in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift up those people affected, those people over there in Asheville and those people in those surrounding areas, those people that are cut off from food and water. Lord, we just lift them up to you and we ask that you protect them, that you guide them, that you direct them, that you satisfy their every needs, that you keep them safe, that you grant them shelter, that you grant them food, that you grant them water. Father, we pray against these enemies that are trying to keep keep help from coming in. They've got roadblocks. They're shutting them down left and right. They're keeping the food from coming in. They're keeping the nursing homes shut down. Lord, we lift them up to you, and we ask that you deal with them as you see fit. Bring them down, Father. Remove them. Remove these terrors from the midst of these people that are trying to survive. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you just do a mighty work there with your people, through your people, and that you keep them safe, and that you protect them, and that you lift them up, and that you, those that are fighting for their lives, we pray that you bear them up, and that you be with them, and that you allow them to survive. Lord, we come out of concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are over there, and we lift them up to you. We lift each and every one of them up to you, and we ask, Father, that you save them. Save them from the hands of the enemy. Save them from the elements. Save them from everything that's coming against them right now. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. Amen. Yeah, there is a lot of stuff that's going on, and I want to just show, I got a short video clip, and it's a drone footage, just a little bit, a glimpse of the disaster. You can go ahead and play it, and it doesn't have any audio, so I'll just keep talking, but, you know, as you watch this, it just shows a drop in the bucket of the destruction that is out there. Buildings that are just completely destroyed, stuff that's washed out, roads that are gone. And the reports that have been coming in are just, they're finding bodies all over the place. They're finding them in the trees and in swamps and in buildings. And, they're not really letting out how much death has taken place over there. There's complete nursing homes that have been wiped out that they haven't even got to, and they're finding people that are still dead in their beds, and it's just it's horrific. If you're watching this, you can just see that the vehicles, the fuel tanks that have been washed all over the place, and a lot of it looks like a ghost town. And there's parts of the town where they say that every building is completely destroyed. As you watch this, it's the wrath of God, I believe. And so much stuff that's taking place there. And I watched a lot of video footage on it, and this one was just a short minute and 40 second clip, but it did show quite a bit. The other ones you actually had to watch quite a bit, but it's just, just absolutely horrible. So, do encourage people. It's part of loving our neighbor as ourself. And we talked about that yesterday in Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And, do encourage people. Please pray. Keep those people lifted up in prayer. They've got a long haul ahead of them. And there's so much stuff that's coming out. Just, trying to decipher and dig through what is, there's a lot of truth coming out. There's a lot of fiction coming out. So I'm trying to, go through it and figure out what actually is happening. But I know a lot of the reports don't have time, a lot of time this morning. We're probably going to go a few minutes over. But there's so many people that want to help. And it's been, people with private helicopters that have been going in that have been evacuating people. And they've been, running into the red tapes and the blue tapes and, getting shut down, getting stopped. There's people that have went down there trying to take supplies in. They're getting shut down. There's groups of people that wanted to go into some of the nursing homes and the hospitals and help care for people. And they've been shut down. And, one of the things, I think that it was Paul that brought it up yesterday, and we talked about how much love we have for, our fellow man and our fellow brother and sisters, in, not just in Christ, but, just humans, and how much love and how we see something like this, we want to help. And the point that was brought out was as much love as we have in our lives for things like that and helping people, that's how much hatred our enemies have for us and for God's people. And I think it's a good point. It really put things into perspective for me. I know that. And that's basically what I wanted to talk about briefly this morning. Also wanted to tell you that we did get Volume 10 Dragon Slayer newsletter in the mail. So praise God. That's always that's always a tough task. And the Lord just has made it possible and helped us along the way. And I want to say thank you to the remnant, the faithful remnant that help us get those newsletters out. We've got a mail postage bill that could choke an elephant. And it's because of you out there that support us and help us to continue to get those newsletters out. And we've had a lot of people that have contacted us recently and wanted to be put back on the mailing list and receive that Dragon Slayer newsletter. Talked to two people in North Carolina that called up, said, yeah, we're down here in the middle of the storm, but we want to get put on that newsletter. One gentleman said that his papa had been receiving that newsletter for years, and he used to go over to his house, and he loved reading it, and he was passed on now, and he wanted to know if he could start receiving that newsletter. So that's good. It's reaching people, and you never know, who it's going to reach. We pray over them, and we ask, our Heavenly Father to put them into the hands of where they need to go, and that's because we're able to do that because of you, the faithful remnant that's out there that, do help us get these things out. And I did get a note on a book that I had put in one of the Dragon Slayer newsletters a while back, and it was sometime back, and it was one of the food preservation books and stuff, and somebody wrote in and said, you're supporting a queer Edomite Jew, and there was one spot, and it's my fault. I missed it. I did not see it, and they wanted to know why I was promoting a book that was written by a Edomite Jew faggot, and I didn't know. I've been putting a lot of new material out. It's material that I try to put out material that I believe is good material for when you can't go to the internet, when you can't look things up on your computer or your smartphone. I think this is good information to have on your shelf so that you got a reference guide. If you know how to do something, or if you need to know how to do something, to go to the bookshelf and pull something off. It's something that's important to me. And, a lot of people it's not. But being able to have that when the internet's down is a real blessing. And but I do want to apologize for promoting that book. I wouldn't have done it if I had caught that. So I apologize. And if anybody does not has bought that book from us, I'll personally refund your money because it was my fault. I'm the one that messed it up. I can't blame it on anybody else. But I'll try harder in the future to make sure that. That I get through those books. And also on that, I was thinking about it this morning. If there's anybody else out there, I don't have time to read a lot of these books from cover to cover, but if there's people out there that would like it, I do usually get one or two sample copies of these books from the publishing companies. And if you'd like to read them and go through them and let me know your thoughts on them, I'd be happy to send them to you. If there's somebody out there that would have the time and would enjoy doing that, we would appreciate the help. The message that we just had by Pastor Peters was an overview of the Abrahamic Covenant. It was one that he did at a Rocky Mountain Family Bible Camp, and it was a fantastic message. And I wanted to play that this morning with Brother Zach talking about the Abrahamic Covenant. There's a lot of questions being asked, and I think that these two messages are going to answer a lot of the questions that are out there. So with that said, we'll turn it over to Brother Zach.
And greetings to the once and lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, this beautiful Sunday morning, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome you all out there. And we hope you did your job and invited somebody to church this morning. And we're going to get started into the scriptures as usual when I'm with you. And that's in John chapter 1, where we define who Jesus Christ is. And that is John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. And when you start reading the law and the covenant and who it's for, it could be kind of offending to somebody. One of those people or groups of people is Esau, not for him. In fact, God hates him. It is not for him. So this word isn't for him because he rejected. Their forefather rejected the word of God. In fact, he wanted both. He wanted both systems, the Babylonian system and God's system. And that's what he's really good at doing, is blending them. And he's very deceitful. There's a book that Pastor Peters wrote about him called The Man of Sin. I'd encourage you guys to order that book. Gives you a little bit of insight, a lot of insight on Esau and his seed. We need to know that. We need to know who he is, what he does, what he's all about. It's contrary to the word. And if you're new to this ministry and you read that book, then maybe you'll look around and see these other churches. Maybe you'll realize who you're listening to, the one that God hates, the one that is lawless, the man of lawlessness. And if you're also new to this ministry, I would encourage you guys to read, to order the foundation packet or the beginner's packet that this ministry has. I don't know what the cost is, but it's life-changing. The books in there, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, The Benefits and the Curses of Communion, The Abrahamic Covenant, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. Those are all great books put together by highly educated people, Pastor Peters, by E. Raymond Capp. I would encourage you guys, it gives you an up-to-date, so that way when it kind of brings you up to speed on who's who. And you can go along with your Bible, and you can get in there and check their homework, and then you know you're not being lied to. So I'd encourage you to get that foundation starter packet. Order them. Order 4 or 5. If you've been on this ministry a while, get a bunch of them, hand them out. So anyway, so the title of the message today is Who the Covenant is For. I recently ran into a man, and he knew who I was, and through the church that I used to preach at. And one of the guys that used to go there was talking to this man that I met. And he says, well, you need to talk to him, which was referring to me, Zach. And he's like, he knows a lot about the law. He knows a lot about the Old Testament. So this guy, he approached me and he started engaging me, and he's telling me all about the law. And I realized that this guy he spent some time. He'd done his homework, and he's not going to be one of these guys that's easily fooled. And he understands that these preachers out here are just, I don't know, maybe getting an easy meal ticket. But I asked him, I said, who's the covenant for? And he just kind of did a little side, he didn't really sidestep it. Like, I threw him through a loop a little bit. And I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. But he was questioning why I would say something like that. And I thought, well, you know, for this week, we're going to go back to basics a little bit. Because the basics never become unbasic. So we've defined who Jesus Christ is. And he is he's the Word that became flesh. And we're going to read something about here what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. This is a very well-known set of verses here, and that's found in Matthew chapter 5, starting with 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in heaven, least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom. So the foundation that the Judeo-Christian preacher says, the law is done away with. But what is our Lord and Savior, the Word, Jesus Christ, in flesh, say here? Whoever takes it away will be least. Whoever promotes will be greatest. So Jesus is making a distinction here. So he's not annulling the law. He is fulfilling it. He's not abolishing it. He is fulfilling it. What is he fulfilling? Fulfilling a lot of things. He's fulfilling the maledictory oath we talked about months and months ago. That's the land contract. God said, if these people don't have this land, then may whatever happen to me, or this animal happen to me. Because he passed through it, and Abraham did not. And he released that land. That's what that contract is. That's one of the things that he did. So that land, as far as that contract goes, is basically up to grabs. The way I see it. I may be wrong, and I know you're like, you know, there's some of you out there who probably be saying, well, yeah, you know, you can read in the Testament that land's to be Israel's forever. True, it does say that. But God booted them out because of their disobedience, and he died on the cross and released that land. He also promised that Israel would become a multitude of nations. And you guys know that. We read it together. Pastor Peter has been saying it for 40 years. We didn't make it up. Because we're the weak and the foolish. We're simply not smart enough to make this story up ourselves. So that's one of the things that he's fulfilled. What is the other one? Marriage law. This is where the new covenant comes in. This is where who it is for specifically. He's fulfilling this law. Because it says in Malachi, the Lord God does not change. Period. Israel is his wife. So to find that out, we need to go to Jeremiah chapter 3. You're going to re-go through this again. I know a lot of this is review for you, but that's okay. I never, ever, ever get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of hearing the gospel, ever. So, Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. Oh, I'm on the wrong one here. Jeremiah 3, verse 6. Then the Lord said to me, in the days of Josiah the king. Remember Josiah? Great king. He was the king of the house of Judah. Have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill under every green tree, and there she was a harlot. How is she a harlot? She was a harlot because she was serving other gods. She was introducing new political systems. That's what she was doing. She was disobeying the law of God and obeying the laws of Baal, combining two political systems, combining God's system in Satan's system. It's called double-mindedness. It's called leaven. That is what it's called. Verse 7. I thought after she has done all these things, she would return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So we know at this time when Jeremiah is talking, we've had the split. Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they formed two separate countries, House of Israel and the House of Judah. That is what the prophet Jeremiah is talking about right here. There's a distinction. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she also went as a harlot. So what do we have? A writ of divorce. This is Israel was sent away with a writ of divorce. He viewed the relationship as a marital relationship. Notice Israel has gotten it. So yeah, Judith has not received one, but she's still a whore. She's still a miserable, disobedient wife, is what she is. That country. And if you look at all of this stuff, when you read all this stuff, what is it about? It's about holding a country together, or in this case, two countries, the House of Israel and the House of Judah, or them breaking apart and God disassembling them. It's all about holding a nation together, all having them understanding commander's intent, understanding the government, which is God. And when you disobey it, it gets busted apart. And here Israel is with a writ of divorce, but not Judah. Let's continue. Verse 9. Because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land. There it is again. The land gets polluted. The land gets cursed. Christians don't think in these terms anymore. They're too busy trying to save their own skin. They just got to... what they want. Now, I'm guilty of this, too. I mean, they just want fire insurance. They just want fire insurance. But it's so much more. It's the longevity of a country. And as we as Israelites, and we as the part of the 12 tribes that form the multitude of nations, us Anglo-Saxon, I'm going to get into that more if I have time. It's about the preservation of our culture and our God and his system on this earth. Like it says in John 3, for God so loved the world, though he loved the world. And when you violate his law, the world gets polluted. The world gets cursed. The land gets cursed. The people are cursed because Israel isn't doing their job and promoting his political system. It's like the last time I was with you. You want God's kingdom back? Push his law. Uphold his law. Do like Hezekiah did. Cling to his law and his commandments. Don't get sent away with a writ of divorce. Or, which we can't really do that now because Jesus already died. Then you get the old good whammy. It's over. Period. Yet in spite of all this, verse 10, of all this, her treacherous sister did not return to me with all of her heart, but rather deception, declares the Lord. So Judah did not receive a writ of divorce. That's the two southern tribes. That's who basically was preserved, even though she was a bag. But Israel was whacked, cut off, thrown out, hauled off into Assyrian captivity. And then here in Jeremiah chapter 31, let me see here, where are we starting? Verse 30, but everyone will, now this is talking about the new covenant that God's going to set up, which is through Jesus. This is Jesus fulfilling the law. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, that's why they were booted. That's why they got whacked. They broke it. That's why they got sent off with the writ of divorce, because they were disobedient. God was forced to Deuteronomy 28 them. He had to. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and in their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You're an Israelite, you just know what's right and wrong. God put that law in your heart. Now, what does this say? Back up to verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and, and with Judah, the house of Judah. Whose support is for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel are the ones that have zero hope. They lost his law. They lost his protection. They lost God. He sent them away. Judah still had a chance. Who's the law for it, or who's the new covenant for it? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Does it say, and then I'm going to change it and open it up to everybody? No, it does not. You need to know the law about the alien in order to know how all that works. I remember when I was a young man, or when I was this boy, they would say, well, if you were not an Israelite back in the Old Testament day, you didn't have any chance. That's what they told me. And then when I got older and I actually read the law myself, and it's talking about the aliens and the non-Israelites, and if they were to enter into the country and into the assembly, like they could be there, but they had to obey the law. If not, beat it. That's why this country has so many problems. They come in here. You're supposed to follow our laws, our way of life. It used to be that way. Now it's like we have to accept every single God, every whoredom out there. So that's who the new covenant is for, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And in Hebrews 8:8, it confirms that. So turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Now, this is the first book after Acts. And, you know, this is when most people, they see the sheet and God opened it up to everybody. Well, they don't know their history. They don't know what happened to Israel, and they don't know what happened to Judah. Remember, I was talking with a man. I was like, well, yeah, but the 10 northern tribes were divorced. The 2 southern tribes weren't. This is a guy that's been going to church his whole life. He's like, what? I had to put him out there. He's like, I've never seen that before. I'm like, well, you're not going to see that kind of stuff in your everyday church. Esau is running that show. That's the show of everybody happy. Everybody wants to hear and buy their fire insurance and they feel good. Meanwhile, their land, their nation is going in the toilet. And they're the promoters of it. Why? Because they say the law is done away with. It doesn't preserve the land. They teach people to feel good about cursing the land and not giving a rip about the 2, 3, 4 generations down the road, the way we are designed to be worried about them. Sorry, I went off on that. It just fires me up when I see these people just go heaven, heaven, heaven. And don't get me wrong, you've heard me say it before. I want to go there, but I also need to make sure I have to do my part to ensure that there's a nation here for my children and grandchildren to raise the next generation. And we have to get to work. Because if we don't, we will lose it because of our sin. And if you don't believe me, read the Old Testament and see what happened, especially this country. So we've established that the new covenant is for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Romans chapter 7. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning that husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So what he's talking about is a divorce took place. That's what Paul is talking about here. A divorced woman married to another guy, she is an adulteress. If that guy's still alive, she's an adulteress. Even though she had the writ of divorce, she's still an adulteress. That's the way God views it. I didn't make it up. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die through the law. Who was made to die through the law? Was it the Eskimo? Was it the, Aborigines? Were they made to die to the law? Did they receive the law? Who would this apply to? What Paul is talking to in Romans, this can only be an Israelite. It can only be an Israelite. Why? Because of the writ of divorce. God was not married to every race and group of people, every tribe. He was not. He was, and I'm like looking back at it in Jeremiah's time. He was married to Israel. Why would Paul be talking about this? Because if you don't know the history and you don't know where Israel went into those captivities, you have no idea. You think that Israel came back to Jerusalem, just like every little preacher says. The only ones that came back to Israel or Jerusalem to rebuild the temple was a remnant from the house of Judah, which could only be from the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. What about the tribe of Joseph and Gad and Dan? What about those tribes? They were divorced. And now we have Paul talking about a husband and wife relationship. Jesus died. We read in Matthew chapter 4, or 5, excuse me, I've come to make atonement for the law. That's what he said. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. I just had a scripture pop into my head, but I wish I would have. I didn't write it down. I don't know if I'll get to it. Romans chapter 9. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren and kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelite. Now here's the key. You have, like, my dad went to Vietnam. He was a high speed dude in Vietnam. He was a team leader, and he would always say, pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. I know you guys have heard me say it before. And many years later, when I was watching videos about the type of guy or the type of team that my dad was on, their motto was, pay attention to detail. Because if you don't, you overlook a detail, it might be your last day on earth. Same way it is with the Bible. Pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. And here's a detail. For who are Israelites, to who belongs the adoption as sons of the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. Who does it belong to? Israelites. That's who it belongs to. Those who are the fathers and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. So notice, why is he talking about the flesh? When you read in Genesis 17, and when you read here when Paul talks about the multitude of nations, which he's referring to, Genesis 17, the flesh, it is for Israel, the kinsmen. That's who the covenant belongs to. Paul says it right there. The covenant belongs to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is why it's important to know the covenant. If you don't know the covenant, you can know all kinds of stuff. Doesn't matter. You need all three. You need to know the covenant. You need to know the law, and you need Jesus Christ, which is the covenant and the law. And he gave it to us, and he died, and he released us from the law, released us from that writ of divorce so that we could be adopted back. It all in here that we could be grafted back in. If there was never a group of people that needed God more in his system anymore than the 10 northern tribes, I don't know who is, because they were S-O-L. I think you guys know what that means. Turns me to Acts chapter 2. We're starting verse 36. Therefore, now this is, let me stop here. This is Peter, the Apostle Peter. This is after Jesus ascended into heaven. Peter was given the keys. This is the sermon. It lays it all out. He was given the keys. He's in them. This is why it's actually important. If you're not grasping what I'm saying to you, you really, really, really need to read the book, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. You need to, the ministry carries it. If you don't get any other, get that one and follow along in the Bible and you will see it. It'll give you that foundation. Verse 36 of chapter 2. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Okay. Why was he crucified? He went for the law. He was releasing them. I mean, they were going along with it at the time, but it was because of them. It was because of who? Let me read it again. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know. Who did it? They crucified it. About them. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you have to repent. How do you repent? You got to know the word. You got to know the law. That way you know what you did wrong. You got to know who you are. Because we know. What did Peter say? Let all the house of Israel know. Okay, verse 39. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. What? What did he say? For the promise is for you. Did he say it's for everybody? Meaning of those who far off. Back up. Back to verse 36. Therefore, let all of the house, all of the house Israel know. That's who he's speaking to. All of, that's all 12 tribes. They're far off. You don't think Peter didn't know that he was from the house of Judah? You don't think he knew that? There's one part in there where the Pharisees are talking about God going, or Jesus going to the dispersion. They're talking about the 12 tribes. The 10 tribes that were scattered abroad. I think in Strong's is that the Israelites spread abroad. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to themselves. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, be saved for generation. So Peter, in the very first sermon, he tells you who's the new covenant for. For the house of Israel. Is it for everybody? No. I gotta find. Give me here a second. I'm looking here. Oh, okay. Matthew chapter 15, verse 31 or 21. Jesus sent away from there into the district of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from the region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." So we have a Canaanite woman. This is not an Israelite. Pay attention to what this story, like this is this, look, action. This is the milk of the word. This is baby food. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting after us. He answered and said, I was sent, listen to what Jesus said. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of... This is... Go back. Pay attention to detail. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who was sent away with a writ of divorce? The house of Israel. You can even... It's not even the house of Judah. Jesus is worried about them 10 tribes that were hauled off. That's what he's talking about. Those ones with the writ of divorce, those lost of the house of Israel, the wife that he cast off because of her disobedience. Verse 25, but she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. What is he saying? It's not for you. It's not for you. I'm not going to feed you. But she said, Yes, Lord. But even the dog crumbs would fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. So she had faith. You better check the laws about the people that are not entering the assembly. Know your place. She had great faith, and she was able to get what she wanted. But Jesus said what he said. And you can argue it any way you want, but he said it. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it is said that you are not my people. So what do we have here? The sons of Israel, they're in that place. Where are they? They're in that place. They're not in the land of old. And they said, you're not my people. But they're, what are they? They're sons of Israel. They're numbered as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And it's a flesh covenant. It will be said to them, you are sons of the living God. What does it say to them? You're sons of the living God. You're Christians. Let me ask you this. Who's responsible for spreading the name of Jesus Christ across the entire world? Is it what you would call? No, they don't like Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. So he said, I didn't say it. He said it. I'm not going to look it up right now. You look it up. Of the living God, Christian. And who's responsible for spreading the name of Jesus Christ all across the globe? The Anglo-Saxon, which means sons of Isaac. That's the dramatic Scandinavian and Celtic and kindred people, white people. You want to know what an unpopular person is right now? A white male. If they only knew who they were, and if they only knew the politics that they were to hang on to and cling to, and they got that law written in their heart, if they only knew. We're here to tell you. Verse 11. In the sons of Israel, there you go. You have the two nations again that they're talking about. Hosea was actually specifically for the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, by the way. And they will appoint for themselves one leader. And so the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel, they're going to do it. God said it. They're going to do it. They don't have a choice in the matter. When Christianity came, that's God fulfilling what in Hosea right here. He said it. It's happening. And they will go up from the land. For great will be the day of Jezreel. That lead about, he's got a name. It's the word that became flesh, and his name is Jesus Christ. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's like it says there in Acts, the promise is for you and your children and all those who are far off. I could go more and more into the New Testament about this. I'm simply out of time. But the new covenant is for the house of Israel in the house of Judah, period. And look at there. I'm almost out of time. Do you pay attention to Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized if you want to be in the army of God. Contact the ministry. They'll hook you up with somebody. I'm out of time. And with that, for those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Communion now. We've passed our communion out here. We've prayed over it. We hope you have done the same. The Lord's Supper, communion, it is a mystery of sorts. Jesus said that we're to do this in remembrance of him, his word. When we hear his word like we just have, when we do his word, when we obey his word, that's one of the ways we remember him. When we partake of this, it him, and it allows him to abide in us. We may not have a full understanding of it. I saw a quote recently from C.S. Lewis, famed author. Said that he takes great comfort in that Jesus said, take and eat. He didn't say take and understand. He said take and eat. So we do that very thing in obedience. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do that very thing as you said, to take and eat. To look to you for nourishment, for strength, for health, for wisdom and understanding. We do so in us As we do this, as we partake of these emblems that represent your body and your blood that you so willingly gave for us, Lord, help us to obey your word. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, to confess our sins before you, to partake worthily, to judge ourselves. Lord, your word says in doing so, we would not be judged. We thank you for this. Bless this time that we have. We pray all the blessings, all the grace and mercy and promises that come partaking these emblems of abiding in you and you abiding in us. We do this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And we partake. Amen.